What we want to do is start with Luke's Gospel. And we're starting this new series, and I hope you're excited about it. It's going to be a long series because Luke's Gospel has a lot in it. And we've titled the series, Jesus and His Mission. Now, it's interesting that when you go to read a book, now I have a book here. It's actually fiction. Philip, my son Philip, and his wife gave me this for Christmas. It's by John Grisham. And if I'm going to read fiction, I read John Grisham. I really enjoy his stories. But you know, if I was to go into the bookstore myself rather than getting this for Christmas, and I was looking for a book to read, then it's relatively easy just to pick it out because, you know, you can look at this beautiful cover and it attracts me, it catches my attention. But then if I want to know what the story's about, I can just flip open the cover and there it is. There's a summary of what this story is all about. But you know, back in the days when Luke was writing his gospel, you didn't have this. You didn't have books like these. You didn't have a beautiful cover to catch your attention. You couldn't just open it and read a summary and say, oh, okay, I'll spend the money for that book. And when I look at the cost of this one, I would never spend the money. I'm so thankful it was a gift. But it's a good story. If you'd like to borrow it, I've finished reading it in just a few days, but very good story. But when we come to the Gospel of Luke, then when Luke wrote his letter to his friend Theophilus, he wrote it on some kind of paper. We're going to assume it's like a scroll. And so this morning, what we're going to do is try to whet our interest a little bit in this long letter that Luke wrote by simply opening the scroll. And what we're going to do when we open that scroll, we're going to read the very first sentence. It actually comprises the first four verses of Luke's gospel, but if you look at it, you will see that all it is just one sentence. And so if anyone was going to get interested in Luke's gospel and read that letter that he wrote, then this is what would have to catch their attention, is when they would just sort of open the scroll just a little bit and they would read this. And Luke says, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. And so this then was Luke's opening statement. Now, it's interesting when we come to the Gospels, and everyone will be familiar. Oh, just before we get on to that one. I thought of this one this morning when I woke up. Do you know that you can go to Dublin in Ireland? And in fact, when I sort of thought about this, I can feel another trip coming on. But you can go to Dublin and you can actually go to a museum there and you can find a copy of part of the Gospel of Luke. And it's referred to as Papyrus 45, and you notice that on that papyrus, they have segments of the four Gospels, and they also have part of the book of Acts. And so you can see in my little chart there what they tell us are the different segments of the Gospels that are on that papyrus. And it dates back to the 3rd century. So we don't have Luke's original copy, but we have a copy of it that dates back to the 3rd century. And so you notice then that as we go through the Gospel of Luke, you can go to Dublin and you can actually, if you can read Greek, you can actually go to Dublin and you can read chapters 6 and 7 and you can read chapters 9 to 14 just as it was copied back in the 3rd century. You know, that just kind of makes me feel fuzzy. Like, I love that kind of thing. I mean, if that doesn't get you kind of excited as a Christian, like, imagine. So, if it works out, I hope to visit Dublin. I know that the Dufours have already done so, and that Joan and Don have already had the opportunity to look at these, the Gospel of Luke. Now, when it comes to the Gospels, here's a picture that somebody has painted that is supposed to represent the 4 writers of the Gospels, and they're all gathered there together. And what I'd like you to do this morning is sort of think of the 4 writers of the Gospels as 4 different artists. And what these artists are doing is they're standing back and they're looking, as it were, at the same scene. And what they're going to do is they're going to paint a picture of that scene. But these are not just ordinary artists. These are actually men that have been indwelt by the Spirit of God, and they're going to look at this and they're going to paint a picture for you and I, which is instructed by the Spirit of God. But for them, they're just standing back and they're looking at this and they're going to write. And so, first of all, of course, we have Matthew. And in Matthew's gospel, Matthew does his portrayal of the Lord Jesus. And in his gospel, he presents the Lord Jesus as the King, the one who was the long-awaited for Messiah. And you can see there a key verse from Matthew's gospel. And it says that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And so Matthew draws a picture for us, and in there we see Jesus as the promised king. Then if you go on and you look at Mark's gospel, Mark is also painting a little different picture for us. And instead of presenting Jesus as the king, Mark presents for us Jesus as the suffering servant who gives his life to save the world. And one of the key verses in Mark is, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And then we have Luke, and we're just going to skip him for a minute because he's the guy we're most interested in, and we'll move on to John. Now, John, again, he presents to us a different picture of the Lord Jesus. And he presents the Lord Jesus as being the Son of God. And he shows us that he's the only way of salvation. And it's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And of course, the key verse that I have up there from John's gospel is chapter 20, verse 31. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." But then we have Luke, and he's the one that we're going to concentrate on this morning. And so he's standing back. In a sense, he's painting for us a little different picture of the Lord Jesus, and he presents him as the ideal man, the Son of Man. And one of the key verses in Luke's gospel comes after his meeting with Zacchaeus. And he said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, these particular little charts, I didn't make them up myself. I actually borrowed them from Chuck Swindoll. And I would recommend, if you're studying a book of the Bible, I would recommend that you take a quick look at some of the introductions of Chuck Swindoll. Him and his team have actually come up with a little chart for each book of the Bible. So it doesn't matter what chapter or what book you're studying, you can get a nice, concise chart that shows you a summary of that book by going to that website. Now, I know you won't have time to copy it down, but if you just put in Chuck Swindoll and Luke, it'll come up. And so there's his chart, and very, very interesting. And I think it'd be a good idea, since we're starting to study the book of Luke, and you have a computer, then just go home and do that, because we don't have time to go through it all this morning. So, what do we know about Luke? Well, there's a number of things that we know about Luke. First of all, Luke was a Gentile. At least he was non-Jewish. Now, that sets him apart from the other four writers of the Gospels. You see, Matthew, Mark, and John were Jewish. And yet, Luke was non-Jewish. And yet, God chose these men in order to give us accounts of the life and work of the Lord Jesus. And as I wrote this down, I thought, isn't that kind of a nice picture of the church? It used to be in the world you had the Jew and the Gentile. But now in the days that we live, since the Lord Jesus was here, you still have the Jew, you still have the Gentile, but you also have the church of God. And in the church of God, that partition between Jew and Gentile has been broken down by the Lord Jesus. And so the church of God consists of both Jews and Gentiles. And I thought of what a nice little picture of that we have right here, even in the writing of the Gospels. Now, another thing that we know about Luke is that he was a companion of the Apostle Paul. When Paul, in fact, we don't read much else about Luke. I don't really think we read anything else except what Paul has to say. And if you go to Colossians 4 and verse 14, Paul refers to Luke as the beloved physician. And so this would tell me that, of course, that he was a doctor, but it would also tell me that he might have been one of Paul's best friends, because he doesn't just refer to him as a physician, but he calls him his beloved physician. You see, Paul had good friends, and that's something that's kind of important in life, isn't it? For you and I to have good friends, friends that are going to be a positive influence in our lives. And so Luke and Paul, they were best friends. And then if we go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, then Paul is talking about Luke again, and he says to Timothy, only Luke is with me. It's almost like everyone else had dispersed, but his best friend, his buddy Luke, was still there with him. And so not only was he Paul's best friend, but Luke was a faithful friend. And I hope that there are people who think of me as being a faithful friend. A friend that sticks by them. A friend that will help them in a time of need. And yet I hope this morning as well that you not only know people as being faithful friends, but you know the one who is referred to in the scripture as a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And of course, that is in reference to the Lord Jesus himself. And then the third and final reference that we have to Luke comes from Paul writing his book to Philemon. And he refers to Luke there, and he says that Luke, my fellow laborer. And so he wasn't just a couch potato. Luke was somebody that worked with Paul. It wasn't that he was just a cheerleader. You know, I remember once, and I wasn't going to think of this story, but I remember once working with a friend of mine. We used to build decks together. And this is many years ago. And I remember one day I was under the deck, and he was standing watching. And I was under there in the dirt, and I was trying to do something. And he said, David, I'll give you a hand. Never forget that. Well, that wasn't what Luke was like, and that really wasn't what my friend was like either. But Luke was one who got right in there, and he worked, and that's what we need. Is we need friends who are good friends, and they're faithful friends, and they're friends that are working along with us. And so he was a companion of Paul. We also know that he was well educated, very well educated. He was a doctor. So, of course, he had to be educated. It's interesting how that in the Christian history, how that God uses a person regardless of how much education they've got. Did you know that Dwight L. Moody didn't make it out of elementary school? Right? He had an elementary school education. God used him. Spurgeon had very, very limited education, and yet God used him. But then on the other hand, we have a person from our own times. I'm not sure if you've heard of John Lennox, who is one of the, what I consider, greatest minds of our time. And John Lennox has a degree from Cardiff University, University of Surrey, University of Cambridge, University of Oxford, and Emmanuel College. And yet God has taken John Lennox, and he has used John Lennox for his purposes. And so really, no matter who we are, as long as we're ready to serve, as long as we're willing to serve God, then God is able to take us up and to use us. And it isn't that you need to be educated, even though I spent my whole life educating. But that isn't really what counts. What counts is a heart for God, a heart that's willing to serve. And so it was with Luke. And so he was the educated one, much more educated than the other writers of the gospel. Matthew was a tax collector. He was like a traitor to his people. Mark, we don't know what he did. John was a fisherman. So I wouldn't expect too much education. But then Luke was well educated, and he was a doctor. Now, Luke was also a traveler and a historian, and we see that coming out in his book, that Luke was an historian. And we see from the Acts that he was a traveler because he was with Paul on his missionary journeys. And so he was sort of a well-rounded individual. And then we find that Luke was very inclusive. And as we go through the gospel, we're going to see that Luke was one who believed in that the gospel was for all. And he sets out to prove the universality of the gospel, how that it doesn't matter who you are. When Christ died upon the cross and provided salvation, that salvation was for you. And so what we're going to find as we go through Luke is he gives us a picture of the Lord Jesus, and he's dealing with children. In other situations, he's dealing with women who were looked down upon in that society. And then at other times, we see him working with those who are poor. Then he's working with those who are rich. He's working with those who are outcasts. He's working with those who are oppressed. But then we even see him dealing with those who are the oppressors. You see, the Lord Jesus, when he came into the world and gave himself as a sacrifice, he provided a salvation which is for all. And so Luke wants to look at this and to see that It's a very inclusive salvation. Now, Luke's letter was intended, as we've already mentioned, for his friend Theophilus. Now, basically, we know nothing about Theophilus. The only thing that would give us a bit of a clue as to who Theophilus could have been is the way that Luke refers to him. He refers to him as most excellent Theophilus. Now, when we have that in the scriptures in another place, it's actually a Roman centurion, Claudius Lysias, and he is writing to Felix, the governor. Now, Felix was an old rascal. If you know anything about him, he was not really the kind of guy you'd want for your buddy. But still, when Claudius Lysias is writing to Felix, he refers to him as the most excellent governor, Felix. And so that term, most excellent, would give us a clue perhaps that Theophilus was some official with the Roman government. But that's just a guess. We don't know for sure. Now, how did Luke go about his investigation in order to write his letter? You know, when I would sit down and write a letter, and it's been a long time. I used to write letters to Ruth, but writing letters was never really what you would want for me. You wouldn't come to me and say, "Would you write me a letter?" You know, maybe do a math problem, but not write a letter. But you know, this was no easy task that Luke was taking on when he wrote his letter. It wasn't that he just sat down one morning and, you know, wrote, you know, "Dear Theophilus," you know, and 10 minutes later he was done. It was a huge task that Luke was taking on. And so he, when he was going to write his letter, he was going to do an investigation. And so we see from what that first sentence tells us that what he did was he told Theophilus, "I'm going to start at the beginning." And so as we look through the Gospel of Luke, and Andrew Sarlo is going to speak to us next week, and you'll see that where Luke starts is actually at the announcement at the birth of John the Baptist. And so that's what Luke is referring to when he says, "I'm going to start at the beginning." And so that's where he starts his investigation. And then he investigates everything between that and the ascension, because that's how Luke's gospel finishes off. But then if that wasn't enough, when he had finished that, he writes another letter to Theophilus, the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, it's interesting that he starts with the ascension. In other words, he starts where he left off. And then he continues on and he gives Theophilus an account of what's happening until approximately the death of the Apostle Paul. So Luke did a lot of writing. Did you realize that if you do a word count, that Luke wrote as much or perhaps a little bit more than the Apostle Paul? Paul wrote more books, but Luke was wordier. Right? And he wrote at least 25 to 27% of the New Testament, according to those who do the word counting. And so it was a huge task. And so he started at the beginning. And then what he did was he didn't just do a haphazard job of it. He wanted to make sure, absolutely sure, that what he was writing down was the truth. And so he did an investigation. He was like Sherlock Holmes. And so he went to different people. People that had seen what was going on. People that had talked to the Lord Jesus. And he talked to them, and they were eyewitnesses. And you can't get any better source for information than somebody that actually saw it. And I'm sure that as he did it, you know, he didn't just go to one person and they told him. Then when he was talking to the next person, he would likely say to them, "Now, what about this?" And he would see if the two stories jived, if they came together. Very, very careful investigation. And then He worked in an orderly way. He went step by step. It was a painstaking task that he took on. He did a very thorough job of looking at the life of the Lord Jesus. This book that we're going to study for the next months, this book is full of accurate information. Information that you and I can depend upon absolutely 100% that what we're reading and what we're studying that Luke wrote under the guidance of the Spirit of God is 100% true. That's what we're going to be looking at. And so Luke did that. And so we might ask the question, well, why? I mean, if I was thinking to do it, I might think about doing something like that, but I say, oh, too much work. I mean, come on. But Luke did it. And he did a good job of it. Now, why? Well, I believe that there's a few reasons. First of all, he was a doctor. Do you want a doctor to be thorough? Like if you go in for a surgery, do you want somebody that does things step by step? Or do you want somebody that does, oh, I'll do this step and oh, I'll skip these three and I'll do this one here? You don't want that. A doctor is thorough. They do things completely. And so that's who Luke was. And so even in his nature, he would do a thorough job. But then he wanted to provide his friend Theophilus with something that was reliable. It's great to have something that's reliable, isn't it? And if we want to study something that's reliable, forget about books written by men. What we need to study is God's Word, the Bible. It's reliable. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I remember singing that as a child over 60 years ago, and it's never left me. The second verse went, the B-L-O-O-D, the blood that cleanses me. His life he gave, my soul to save. The B-L-O-O-D. Don't know how I get on that. Anyway, I'm thankful for those little courses that I learned. And so anyway, he wanted to provide Theophilus with this. And then I believe that he wanted to strengthen Theophilus' faith and perhaps his own. You see, Luke and Theophilus lived in tough times. It wasn't easy to be a Christian. It wasn't like living in Sault Ste. Marie and attending Bethel Bible Chapel and people saying to you, well, where do you go to church? Oh, I go to Bethel Bible Chapel. Oh, I understand they have a big congregation there. But there's no reproach. But I'll tell you, in the days when Luke and Theophilus, when they were proclaiming to be Christians, then they had a lot of opposition and persecution. And perhaps Theophilus was getting to a point where he's wondering, did what I believe, like, is it really true? And maybe he had asked Luke that question. Maybe he was starting to have a few doubts. Is what I believed really the way? You see, that happened to some really great men of faith. It happened to John the Baptist. Remember how that when John the Baptist faced severe persecution, finally he sent a messenger to the Lord Jesus and he said, are you the one? And so perhaps that was happening here. And Luke wanted to strengthen his faith and strengthen his own faith. And perhaps there are some here this morning and you're questioning. And we hope that as we go through this book, the book of Luke, that your strength or that your faith will be strengthened, and that you will realize that what you believed is true and that it's reliable, because that's what Luke set out to do. And then I believe that Luke wanted a fact-produced faith. You know, when it comes to faith, there's a song that we sing, and it's a great old song, but every time I sing it, I think of this. And it goes something like this. It says, "You ask me how I know he lives." And then the next line is, "He lives within my heart." And people love that. And I love that. But you know, when I think of it, I think, really, the reason I know he lives is because God tells us that he lives. It's proclaimed in the scripture that he lives. I want my faith to be based not just on feelings, but I want my faith to be based on facts. And so the reason that we know he lives is because the Word of God tells us that the third day Christ rose from the dead and that he lives forevermore. And I believe that Luke wanted that same thing. Now, I've only got 2 or 3 minutes left, so we're going to skip that. Now, we're hoping that as you go with us on the journey through Luke, that you'll enjoy the journey. I think Len made the suggestion last week that before you come next week, you should read the passage or the scripture that's going to be spoken on. And you can find what's going to be spoken on in your bulletin, what Andrew's going to be speaking on next week. It's a tremendous gospel. It's a tremendous journey. You're going to find things in there that if Luke hadn't written, we'd never know about. Parables and stories that are unique to Luke, like the Good Samaritan or the lost coin and the prodigal son, the rich man and Lazarus, the Pharisee and the publican, and Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus. Those are just a few. Really exciting stories, really exciting accounts of what the Lord Jesus did while he was here upon earth and the people that he dealt with, the one who was inclusive, the friend of publicans and sinners. And so in the next little while, we're going to be taking a look at that. And so we hope that you can be here every week to take this journey with you. I'm just going to read what I wrote down here. But we hope that every week you can be here. But we know that sometimes that's not possible. And so if you're not here, then what we would suggest you do so that you can keep up on the study of Luke is you go to our website. And each week, the messages are recorded. I never listen to my own. But the messages are recorded, and they're put on our website. So if you can't be here next Sunday, then you can go and listen to it on our website. And so you should never have to miss a week of the study of Luke. You know, Luke was writing to his friend Theophilus. But God had much bigger plans. And the letter that Luke wrote has been included in the Word of God. Luke had no idea that in 2020, a group of believers in a place that wasn't even on the map when he wrote his letter would be starting today to carefully study his letter. A letter written under the guidance of the Spirit of God, so that they might learn more about Jesus and his mission. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the book of Luke. We thank you for how you used all the different writers of the gospel to bring before us the Lord Jesus, that one who is altogether lovely. We can say that he's the fairest of 10,000. And Father, we count it a privilege and an honor to be able to write, to read, and to study a letter written so long ago. And yet it has been used down throughout the ages to bring before men and women just like us truths concerning the Lord Jesus, who was the perfect man, who was also the Son of God in one blessed person, the one who was the suffering servant, and the one who was sent to be the King of Israel. And we're thankful that we can look forward to that day when the one that we're going to be studying about, that he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we thank you for the Savior, and we pray for your blessing now as we separate. In Jesus' name, amen.